Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Hello, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Big here, your host tonight. All the way from Greensboro, North Carolina, we've got one of our big thinkers on, Felton Wooten, a successful business owner and corporate strategist. So, Felton, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, one of the first things that we'd like to get out from our guests is how can our listeners reach you?
They can reach me by going to my webpage, and that's FeltonWooten.com. That's FeltonWooten.com. Or they certainly can call me on my cell phone, and that's area code 336-210-6837. Area code 336-210-6837.
Okay, great. I hope all of our big listeners got that, and throughout the interview, of course, he'll be repeating that. But first, let's tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up? And you know, and if you have a large or small family.
All right. I'm a native of North Carolina. Lived in Greensboro all my life, and then went to school in Durham, North Carolina Central University, and. Not a big family. It was just my brother and myself. But on both sides of my family, on my mother's side, there were 10 children in her family. And then on my father's side, there were 14 children. So I have lots of cousins and uncles and aunts.
Sounds like even though there was just two of you, you still had a lot of people to lean on growing up that helped you with your development.
You're exactly right, and that has also been, I think, one of the biggest part of my entrepreneurial experience, because on both sides of my family, my mother's side, the family, they were farmers and they owned their own farm. And actually, our farm property goes back as far as 1870 when it was first purchased. And then on my father's side, my father had ran a tailor shop. He was a tailor and had his own tailor shop in downtown Greensboro for 50 years, and actually retired and closed it in 2000. And certainly that was not common in the early 60s for a black man to have his own business in the downtown area of Greensboro.
Yeah, you know, I'm not from the South myself, here in Chicago, and I was just thinking that had to be really hard, especially if they closed in 2000. So you're talking about in the basically 1950, he started this business.
Right. The first 10 years he worked for a high-end clothier in Greensboro, which was on Main Street in Greensboro. Worked there for about 10 years, and then in the early 60s, he told me the story where he realized that he was tailoring all these high-end customers, and they were paying him pennies almost. And he thought, all right, I'm just going to open up my own business.
Mm. Yeah, so a lot of entrepreneurs have been in your family. And what was it that made you decide that you wanted to, you know, step out on that path?
Well, I think just having on both sides of the family people that went to school and started their own businesses, I just saw that it was a way that you could help others and impact others and also pass on a legacy to your children and your grandchildren. And I remembered hearing one person said, the decisions that you make today impact your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. And a good example, just by my great-grandfather purchasing that farm in 1870, and the land is still in our possession, his decision then has impacted us in that we're still able to try to make it more and more profitable. So I thought owning my own business, it was a way that I could impact my family, my children, and also the community at large.
Wow. Now, would you like to share with our listeners, you know, exactly what you've done? Because I know from talking with you in the past and up until this interview that you've accomplished a lot, and just to even get specific on one point can lead to the other things that you've helped people with and other things that you've accomplished. So what would you like to start? What would you like to talk about this evening?
All right. Well, certainly starting, I've owned a couple of businesses. More recently, it was a handicapped transportation company, and I wrote a book on that, How Not to Run a Business, 25 Critical Tips to Make Your Business Succeed. And then, but then the other book was called My Daddy, the Other Parent, a series of 16 inspirational letters to my daughters. And right now I'm really wanting to encourage fathers to write to their daughters, because we go to our grave with such wisdom.
Wow.
But yet when the wisdom goes to our grave, then no one benefits from it. So now I'm wanting to, my second book, I guess, part two, I want to encourage fathers to write letters or submit them to me, and then I'm going to compile them in a second book from just different subjects that fathers might want to write to their children. And I guess third, I just have a new audio book coming out. Because I'm a nursing home administrator by profession, the book is called Quality of Life, Abuse Prevention Measures for Caregivers and Families. And that teaches people about abuse that occurs in the home as well as in institutions. And I'll mention a person can go and find that book, audio book, on Odinhouse, OdinHouse.com, and they just hit Quality of Life. But again, I'm wanting to emphasize fathers and fathers writing to daughters, and me getting letters from other fathers in any subject that they want to write on.
So what would you say is your passion? Because certain times we talk about things, you're a lot more livelier, even though, you know, you really carry on great conversation. What is your ultimate passion?
I think my ultimate passion is to help people. And that can come in lots of different ways. And I know that's a broad subject, helping people, but I can help people if I'm running a business or starting a business. Then one-on-one, I can encourage people and I can talk to people, but I can give them jobs. I enjoy the writing aspect because, especially, and I like to advocate people writing in their own script, because when you write down your thoughts in your own script, you really take the time to formulate your thought, put some energy in what you're trying to do, and then pass it on. So I guess writing has been.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I guess writing helps to pass on that information. So I enjoy the writing aspect.
Yeah, and I was thinking that a lot of teachers that can only reach the people in their classroom, and that you are, even though you also teach, that this is a way that you can teach people far and wide about, you know, the different things that you've learned and the wisdom that you've accumulated over the years.
And you're right, and it's interesting because my mother was a teacher. My mother was a teacher, so I think blending that entrepreneurial spirit that comes from my family, my mother being a teacher, even as a manager of a facility or a business, I'm constantly teaching.
Now, another thing that you told me was about a CD that may be coming out soon.
Yes, and that's that CD on quality of life abuse prevention measures for family members and caregivers. And that has also been a passion, and again, it's also this spirit of helping people. Because so many times, especially when people have someone that are put in a nursing home or assisted living facility, but even more so people who are living in their own homes, abuse occurs. And sometimes the general public don't quite understand what constitutes abuse or neglect. So this CD, I wrote actually 18 stories of different scenarios of abuse that sometimes people don't even recognize, and the categories fall into mental abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, neglect or misappropriation of funds. So I share with people scenarios of abuse, and then I give tips on how they can better handle it, how to better handle communicating with the facilities in a positive way and encourage them to talk to different agencies or people within the institution. But yet, if someone's in the home, I give them ideas on what they could do to help someone if they suspect someone of abuse or neglect. And again, that comes from my background in long-term care in the nursing home industry.
You know, one of the things that we've noticed with a lot of our big thinkers who have worked in these different industries is that they all like to share after a while the different things that you need to look for, whether it's in health care or in abuse with what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really love to have guests like you come on, because a lot of times if you don't know the right questions to ask or what symptoms to look for, you'll never, you know, be able to find out what you need to know.
That's exactly right.
Because there's been plenty of times when people have asked me questions concerning real estate, but they don't know the right questions to ask. So
right,
it's
right.
My duty to say, well, this is what you need to ask, because that is pretty much irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's you know, you writing a book like this. Now, another thing that I like to ask you is that when we're looking at the economy now, how does that affect authors? And not only how does that affect authors, but on the other book that you were writing, The 25 Critical Points to Growing a Business in a Recession, what tips could you give our listeners who are out there and, you know, they're thinking about writing a book or thinking about starting a business, and at the same time they're looking at everything that's going on in the news?
Right. Well, I think the one of the things that come to my mind is that certainly we have the media that's communicating what's going on in the world. However, as an individual, you don't have to buy into that. And there are many, many opportunities out there for people to succeed. And I would say that, first of all, find a need, and especially an unmet need. And when there's an unmet need, then you've got the opportunity to meet the needs of the community and perhaps the world at large, and also make it profitable. The other part of it is in writing. Again, there are lots of ways to reach the whole world, and you can do it through the written word, or either you can do it with CDs and audio. And one of the good things about the CDs and the audio books, it doesn't necessarily cost as much. And then when you want to make an addition or if you want to make some changes, you don't have to reprint the book. You can just change a particular track in what you want to communicate. And even as a writer, then it's all about marketing. And there are lots of ways to reach different target markets, and then always there are different ways to go out there and reach large groups of people. So then it's the marketing aspect. So with this economy, I think they're just great opportunities, but the important thing is that people have to determine how they're going to view it and not view the negatives, but look at the positives and what are the possibilities.
You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Felton, can you please get out your contact information again? How can our listeners reach you?
Certainly. They can go to my website, and that's feltonwooten.com. That's FeltonWooten.com. My cell phone is area code 336-210-6837. And the new audio book, which is called Quality of Life, Abuse Prevention Measures for Caregivers and Families, they can go to Odin House, and that's odinhouse.com, odinhouse.com, and then just hit the button Quality of Life, and they can actually hear a live scenario of some of the stories and can purchase the audiobook.
Now, it appears that our phone lines have they've gone out of control. We have callers from the 336 area code, from the 252 area code, and the 919 area code. I'm going to put the first caller on from the 919 area code, 919-567. If you have a question or a comment, please state your name and where you're from and carry on. If you don't want to ask a question or make a comment, just be quiet and we'll assume that you don't want to. So, caller 919-567, name and where you're located. Okay, the 919 area code 567 just wants to listen in. Okay, the next caller is from the 336-457, first three numbers of his number. Please give us your name and where you're from. Caller 336-457, you're on. Got a lot of listeners tonight. Okay. The next caller from the 252 area code, 237, is your phone number, 252-237. Please state your name and where you're from.
This is
hi, caller, you're on.
Yes, this is Roosevelt Pitt, 252-237-7714. I would like to say, Mr. Woon, I enjoyed your comment, and I'm waiting to hear more. If I'm correct, you say you'll be on the hour. Am I right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Well, I'll be around. I'll be on the hour listening at you, too.
All right.
And I really
all right. And, caller, what's your name and where are you located?
Roosevelt Pitt. I'm located in a little place called Michaelsville, North Carolina. That is Edgecombe County and Wilson County combined.
Okay. All right, we got to move on to the next 252 area code, maybe the same area. Okay, 252-292 is your number. I'm going to put you on.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, oh,
hello.
Yeah, I made a mistake. Okay, yes, caller, what's your name and where are you from?
My name is Annetta Brown, and I just wanted to say that I'm very proud of my cousin. He's full of knowledge, and he's an entrepreneur, and so am I. So I've learned a lot from him, and watching him, and hopefully we will both do well. And I'm looking forward to hearing more about what he's learned, especially about the elderly, since we're in the same social background.
And where are you located?
Wilson, North Carolina.
Okay. All right. Let me just, you can still listen in. I'm going to put you on mute. Okay, 2 out of 4 is not bad.
No, it's not.
All right, so how did you turn your passion into a workable business? Did you partner with anyone to also make that happen?
Yes. And I think that's also very helpful. In two of my businesses, I partnered with individuals, and it was certainly beneficial and a learning experience. One time I actually opened and operated a retail uniform store, and then the other business was a handicapped transportation company. And both of my partners provided a lot of wisdom and guidance in an area that I didn't have. And I think that's important with partnerships, is having someone who has strengths and gifts that you don't have. And then that makes a nice complement of making the business work. Also, you get a different kind of a perspective from the way you think, and then you come up with good ideas, blending your partnerships.
So when you started your first couple of businesses, what did you view as a challenge?
It's always, well, at least for me, it was always money, because I didn't grow up with a silver spoon. So it was a challenge with money. My first partners, those were two nurses, and they were much older than I was, but they had great credit and had a lot of money. So they provided it, and it did well. But it's interesting, and that's why in one of my books, How Not to Run a Business, really research the business and know what you want to do. It was a great business, but I realized that I didn't enjoy retail. The business was growing and booming, but it got to a point where we thought, well, this is just not us, so we ended up selling it. The second business was a handicapped transportation company, and my partner and I did very well. We actually pretty much took over the market in the Greensboro and Winston-Salem area and realized that there were a lot of liabilities in trying to transport handicapped people, and it was a 24-hour-a-day operation, and it was rather time-consuming. So out of both of those businesses, I really learned that, and I want to pass on to people that analyze what you want to do. Of course, find out if there's a need, but then thirdly, then determine if that matches your personality and what you and know what you're expecting to happen. And then if it really doesn't match what you want to get involved in, then look at something else, because otherwise it won't be a labor of love anymore. It'll be a burden on you.
Wow, you know, that you're the first person, one of the first interviews that actually brought up money, but the way that you explain how to get around that is by, you know, partnering with people who may have the credit, who may have the money, if you're all living the same dream. That's great advice. And another thing that you touched upon was a labor of love, because so many people think that they want to do certain things, but maybe they haven't done a skill assessment or a personality assessment to see, you know, what they would be more capable of doing and if they would like it.
That's right. And that's so important, because sometimes people say, well, I want to own a business because I want to have freedom and flexibility. Well, that's pretty much the opposite, because when you own your own business, everything's on you, and every detail and everything that needs to be done falls on you. So as a result, you could end up working 17-hour days, 7 days a week, where when you work on a job, you can quit, leave at the end of the day, and come back the next day. So it can be very rewarding, but you have to be realistic and know it, know what you're getting into.
What would you say would be the biggest quality that you could share with our audience that helped you the most?
I think the biggest quality, and I always like to use the phrase, inspect what you expect. It's important that you look at every detail. And I always share that it's not the tiny, it's not the big stones that make someone fall. It's the tiny pebbles. And if you don't inspect what you expect, then it's those tiny things can make your business crumble and fall. So I'm a real stickler for details. I will ask why. And again, you can have team members that have other kinds of qualities, but it's important that you know every single aspect and you ask every question and you ask probing questions so that you don't have any surprises that could certainly create a lot of financial hardships and some other kind of hardships.
We have another caller. This caller comes in from the 919 area code with 567. You just joining us. You may have a question. If you don't have a question, you be quiet. But we'd like to know where you're from and your name and proceed from there. Caller from the 919-587, you're on. Okay, sometimes the callers, they just like to listen in on the show. And that's,
yeah.
We don't have a problem with that at all. We love you all. Thanks for thinking big with us. Ms. Felton, would you please get out your contact information once more so that our callers know where to reach you?
Sure, sure. You can go to my website, and that's feltonwooten.com, and that's F as in Frank, E-L-T-O-N, W-O-O-T-E-N. My cell phone is area code 336-210-6837, 336-210-6837. And if you want to hear the excerpts from my newest audio book, Quality of Life, Abuse Prevention Measures for Caregivers and Families, you can go to odinhouse.com, and that's odinhouse.com, and you click on the button Quality of Life, and you can hear and see about the book Abuse Prevention Measures for Caregivers.
Okay, all of these ideas that you've had and all of these books that you've put together and all of the businesses, what would you say the time frame of that big idea to its completion normally takes?
I guess it depends. On the businesses, it took, I think about all three of them, over a 9 month or a year and a half. Doing the research, getting the information, writing the business plan, getting the funding, putting together a team of people that you could start with or either having the right partner. So, again, 9 months to a year and a half of doing that research. Also, just meeting with people. I always want to encourage if someone is going to start a business, also find someone who is in that same type of business, and especially someone who is in a senior category, and I'm not saying older, but maybe someone who's been doing it a long time, and they certainly will love to share information. With the books, it was a period of I wrote How Not to Run a Business, 25 Critical Tips, in about 2 weeks. The book My Daddy, the Other Parent, I wrote letters to my daughters since they were a year old, and our oldest daughter is 23 years old. So I compiled letters for that book. So it's over a 23-year period. And then the abuse book, Abuse Measures, I would say I've compiled information over a 10-year period.
Wow. So that's just so that our listeners will know that it's not easy. It's something that you have to really pay attention to, something you have to investigate, because we don't want people to just step out haphazardly, and then that can lead to issues in the home and things like that. You really have to prepare and have all your eggs in order, but know not to over-prepare.
That's right. That's right.
So you have to start sometime.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And I think that's also why I'm excited about the book, My Daddy, the Other Parent, Part 2, because with the businesses, even writing the book, some of the successes and failures, having fathers write to their daughters can certainly help young people or just people in general be a little bit more successful and avoid some of the hazard that they may have. And that's one of the reasons that I wrote the first book, My Daddy, the Other Parent. I wrote letters to my daughters, but my mother and my aunt said that their father was a tremendous businessman, but he didn't share a lot of information. So upon his death, they really didn't know how he amassed over 300 acres and had all of these businesses. So that was the catalyst for me to write the book, and now encouraging fathers to write letters to their daughters on any subject matter. And again, it's especially good if fathers have perspective on businesses, because they can share that information in writing.
I think that's a great idea, and would love to help get that word out, because we need our seniors and fathers and to put that type of information out, and not only to our women, but I think that it will also be a great read for our young men.
You're exactly right, because I guess I've struggled with the idea of the second book, because one time I thought, I'll have the book letters from a parent to anyone, because there was one young man that read my book, My Daddy, the Other Parent, and he read it, and he's in his 30s, and he told me, he said, Mr. Wooten, after I read that book, he has 4 children, I believe, and there are 2 of them made, I think they might be about 2 or 3 different girls. And his oldest child is maybe just getting to a teenage. He said, after I read your book, it told me that I was not a good father, and I've not spent the time necessary in helping to bring up my children. And he said, as a result, I know I've got to be a better dad.
I can't wait to get this next one in my hands, and definitely look to try to contribute something to it.
Yes.
Now, if you had 5 minutes to give the key to business success, what step-by-step method would you share with our listeners?
Okay,
I know you touched upon some of the methods and some of the steps a little earlier in our interview, but if you had to start from, I just woke up today, I've got a great idea, what would you tell me?
Okay. First of all, believe in yourself. And then those people who are naysayers and trying to bring you down, certainly listen, but don't let their negativity penetrate your shield, because our Creator gives us information, and sometimes it's information for only us. So therefore, you listen to that inner voice that's coming to you. Then after you hear that message, then we got to be realistic. Do the research. Talk with someone who's running that kind of business or doing it, and see the pros and the cons. Talk to an accountant, and then get some numbers, some hard data about if it's going to be profitable or not. And then after that, do that business plan that goes into detail about what needs to happen to make it successful. And then also, if you can find someone who is wealthier than you, talk to them so that you truly understand money, and maybe you can even partner with them.
Wow, that sounds, I hope that that can really help some of our listeners out here who are listening live now and who will listen to the archive show. Is there anyone that you would like to mention as far as mentors or, you know, actually books that may have helped you so that our listener audience may have a chance to kind of look up some of those resources also?
Yes, I've certainly learned a lot and believe that he has a lot of value in what he shares, and that's Joe Vitale. And then also in the Greensboro area, Joe Dudley, who is the owner of Dudley Cosmetics. I've talked with Mr. Dudley a few times. I've read his book. And just reading his book is inspiring because he tells of people who were sometime at the bottom of the barrel and they were at the lowest point of their life, but yet other people helped them, and then they were successful. So locally from our area, Joe Dudley is a person. John Ray is a person. And then, of course, Joe Vitale, reading some of his books.
We have so many people calling in right now. And I am so sad to say that we are at a point in our interview where it's hard to pick someone because we're at the very end. For those of you who have just tuned in, please visit thinkbigradio.com. You will hear this interview in its entirety, and you can look him up by his name. Felton, can you please give out your contact information so that our listeners will be able to go to your website and see how you can benefit them?
Certainly. You can go to my website, feltonwooton.com. That's F as in Frank, ELTONWOOTEN.com. My cell phone number is area code 336-210-6837. And for my newest audio book, the CD, Abuse Prevention Measures, is Quality of Life, Abuse Prevention Measures for Caregivers and Family Members, you can go to odinhouse.com, odinhouse.com, and you just hit Quality of Life. You'll hear a live excerpt from the book, and you can also purchase it.
Is there anyone that you would like to thank at this point? Anyone, anything, you name it, you can do it.
Certainly. I'd certainly like to thank my uncle, Roosevelt Pitt, and my aunt, her name is Charlotta Pitt. My parents were Della Wooten and Della Pitt Wooten, and my father, Ernest Wooten. But I also like to thank certainly Joe Dudley, who owns Dudley Cosmetics, and John Ray. And those two individuals, especially John Ray, gave me a lot of guidance when we were first starting our transportation business, and still is a big support to me.
You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. You've just heard Mr. Felton Wooten, a successful business owner and corporate strategist, has written many books. The one that he elaborated more on tonight is The Letters to His Daughters, Part 2. Please visit Mr. Felton Wooten's site. Show him how much you appreciate his interview and let all of your friends know that he's been interviewed on Think Big Radio. We are winding down, and I have a song that I'd like to play. It's from Gladys Knight and the Pips. It's called Neither One of Us, because neither one of us at this point wants to say goodbye. But you can always tune in later. Thanks for thinking big.
ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.